Welcome to the Nerd Party.
I'm Darren Moser.
I'm Philip Gilfus.
I'm Daniel Prue.
And this is City Alpha 3.
Hello and welcome to City Alpha 3, a Star Trek podcast here on the Nerd Party Network. I'm Darren Moser, being spatially trajected here with my two colleagues, Philip and Daniel. Gentlemen, it's another new Star Trek week, but how has the rest of your week gone? Any new readings, audios, or have you just rewatched this episode several times like I have?
Now, I did finish, no spoilers, I did finish the Star Trek Picard novel, which I thought was...
Okay.
What happens at the end? No spoilers, but what? Just tell us the ending.
Picard puts together a motley crew, and it's...
Well, that was actually one of the things, which I know is going to sound stupid, because when I finished the book, I was like, well, actually, it was kind of a sad book. I mean, it's not happy. I mean, but like, you all know everything that happens in the book. I mean, it just fills in details of everything we know. But then I ultimately thought that this isn't a happy ride, right? Like, Picard resigns, the Romulans are screwed, the synths, you know, Mars is burning, the end, happy. You know, it's sort of, Empire Strikes Back, yeah. I guess, you know.
If you'd like to know more, tune in on Star Trek Picard, showing on CBS All Access.
I really liked it, but I think the last fourth kind of brought me down, and then there was a lot of unnecessary swearing for no reason, and so that kind of killed it for me. But you showed
me a picture.
Ridiculous. But anyway, but largely was a good book, so I would recommend it, obviously, if you're a Star Trek fan and then Star Trek Picard fan specifically.
Yeah, my work's kind of picked up this month, so I don't really have the time to listen to the audio, to finish the audiobook, but I will probably by April. But what about you, Daniel? Have you started a TAS rewatch in the middle of all this?
No watch for now.
No, not a, believe it or not. Yeah, it would have to be a watch, so I think I'll still hold off maybe until TAS version 2. No.
Was that Nickelodeon?
Yeah,
well, Lower Decks.
Would be.
Lower Decks, is that TAS version 2?
Yeah. We'll see. I rewatched this episode a couple times, but nothing new for me other than that.
All right. Well, and of course, we are going to be talking about Star Trek Picard episode 7, and that is Nepenthe. We'll go with that pronunciation because who knows? Since you can't speak
it's
titles.
A reference. It's a literary reference, I found out.
Although I did see, guys, I mean, we'll get to it later, but we're getting our Latin episode soon. Yeah! Because it can't be Star Trek without a Latin episode title. But yeah, so best episode so far or best episode so far on a scale of best to best? No.
It's a scale of best to both
man,
worlds.
this was a ride. Oh, hey-o. That's why we keep you on the podcast, Philip, for all those great, great puns. We get a lot of, like, extra stuff kind of revealed. Like, some of the pieces start to fall into place. Like, we learn more about Dr. Girardi and, like, her first contact, Sidario, with the crazy mind meld.
Okay.
Well, we'll start there, because that's crazy.
Can we start there? Because we need to start there, because Commander O... who we thought was posing as a Vulcan.
She's probably a Vulcan.
She's a Vulcan now. This is, okay. I mean, confirmed.
Unless for some reason Romulans can do that too, but that's never been shown.
It's never been established that that's the case.
It's maybe way more likely that she's a Vulcan.
Maybe she's half Romulan. Like maybe she's, you know, like Savick, right? Even though never in universe, but
could be.
In novelization, she was supposed to be half Vulcan.
That's
half
true.
Romulan.
That could be.
I did hear some people talked about the fact that she wears sunglasses was also that she didn't have, like, that second eyelid that Vulcans supposedly have to protect the harsh sun. Because you never see Vulcans in sunglasses except for her. I mean, that's not the best thing to determine a species trait, but it's what we got, guys. It's what we got.
So, okay, but she has to at least be in part Vulcan at this point.
Yeah.
But then, of course, we see her... quote unquote acting as the head of the Jat Vash. So she has to be part Romulan.
That's true.
So the only explanation, Philip, I'm going to go with your until I hear otherwise, your theory is headcanon that she is half Romulan, half Vulcan, posing as a full Vulcan.
She's a Vulculon. I knew it all along.
That's the only thing that makes sense. But at least
it could be.
At least it revealed that we have a motivation, quote unquote, for the B'Jat Vash, I guess. They see the end of the universe from this sin? Question mark?
Yeah, it the felt destroyer. A lot of Section 31-y, like, control, and I didn't really like that. But,
no.
Yeah, and I was kind of surprised. Like, did you guys feel a little underwhelmed by the, you know, the cutscene montage of what's supposed to have been so terrible and unwatchable that it causes you to kill Bruce Matt? Like, I didn't get it. Maybe they didn't show me enough, but I didn't quite buy
it. Daniel is going to be probably the most familiar with this. So, Mass Effect.
That's the thing, yeah. it's eerily similar because in that series, there's a ancient alien artifact, and the main character comes into physical contact with it and has a flashback. I don't want to get too deep into Mass Effect lore, but it's this tragic, terrible, like, history of the universe sort of thing. And it's got that sort of same feeling where it's like part gore, part destruction.
It's so much that causes you to change your course in life.
Yeah, all terror. My problem is that Agnes should have seen Star Trek. She should know. She should be familiar with the species out there and all the creatures that can implant things in your brain. Like, she should be way more skeptical. She takes it on a gospel from Commander O that this is
Commodore.
Not only is this
Commodore? She did not go to Commodore School to be called Commander O.
But not only is this destined to happen, but there's no way to change it. And she immediately murders her boyfriend because of it. I feel like that's like,
yeah.
She makes her way too gullible. I feel like she should be like, wait a minute, this is weird. It's more likely they just want me to assassinate Commander, or not Commander, Maddox.
Bruce Maddox.
Then the universe is going to end if I don't kill Bruce Maddox. So
I'm still waiting for the other shoe to drop. I need more. I'm sorry. I'm not convinced.
The other synth whatever.
And, you know, then, well, they show that, you know, she transferred 300 gigabytes of data, meaning what, like one holographic program?
It's a picture.
I'm like,
now, yeah.
I was going to say, I'm like, it's it doesn't even tip the needle unless it's like a terabyte. Okay, it's the 24th century. But yeah, I mean, so that's what I'm saying about pieces falling into place. Like, you know, we'd been told this, that she had seen something, and, you know, we'd hinted that, you know, there was a mind meld involved. But yeah, I'm still waiting for the other, you know, oh, is this the new O'Brien Must Suffer? Is this like Agnes Must Suffer? Because, boy, does she have a rough time in this show.
I really wanted to like her character, but, I mean, I'm going to go back to my ongoing complaint, which, again, I'm going to stop complaining about, because this is a really good episode. But they make her so twee, and I'm like, stop it. Because she's an accomplished person. You know, look, I like cake, too. Don't get me wrong. But, like, this whole, like, I'm feeling bad about murdering people.
The cake is a lie, Philip. It's
a
lie.
Let me have chocolate milk.
They mock her in this episode because of that.
So it's just like,
yeah.
They did tease.
So, all right. So, rolling.
Also,
rolling on,
just quickly
we're back to.
I was just for the EMH.
No, go for it.
I was like, he's like, oh, by the way, I mean, I'm skipping to the end, but like, oh, she's in a coma, and by the way, she killed Bruce Maddox. If anyone's interested, no. Okay.
I was waiting for that.
Yeah.
Two things, real quick.
No, he said it this way. He's like, maybe killing Bruce Maddox is what made her slip into a coma. And everyone just kind of slow turns to him. Like, what did you say?
Better just than a coma? Because it's supposed to be like the cliffhanger to the episode. Would it have been like, yeah, and she killed him. And it's like awkward silence. Credits.
It also bothered me.
And then it's like the end of, what is it? The first Spider-Man movie. And like, Ralphie's like, what the? And then it cuts. Da-da-da-da. Credits.
It also bothered me a little bit how, like, he was shocked. Like, it's like you are literally an emergency medical hologram. If somebody's passed out on the ground with, you know, leaking, you were supposed to be able to handle that situation.
But he's also a Rios.
I get it. It's a joke. It's fine. Yeah. It's not like the worst thing in the world. I'm just like, he just acted like it was, he'd never seen that before. And I'm like, well, wait a minute. You're a medical hall. This is what you're literally designed. Yeah. But anyways.
Yeah. All right. So pulling us back to the beginning of the episode. So we learn that this is 3 weeks later that the Siren is caught in the artifact's tractor beam. They're trying to get away and they're using that to quickly get what's his name? The other Romulan.
Yeah. Nerissa?
Out to follow him. Yeah. And now we see all the XBs are there, and it's just an interesting scene where they basically, they kill the XBs, but they don't kill Hugh because he's got, like, Starfleet protection.
Diplomatic immunity.
Yeah, pretty much. Also, how many XBs are there? Because I get the feeling now that there's, like, a dozen, but I really thought there was way more than that.
Way more.
But
did you guys notice? Did you guys notice what one of them was?
I didn't.
One of the XBs?
Yeah, he was a
no, I didn't.
Hiroji.
Oh. Someone watched this more than once.
Yeah.
That's cool.
So mark down there, you know what? I have a theory going and I'd like to
This is a Delta Quadrant cube.
All cubes are Delta Quadrant.
It's true.
But yeah, of course, they also have
the technology to transport router. The Queen, yeah.
Well, Quadrant. But that's okay, yeah. I mean, but that's also yeah,
but yes,
I don't know where
Darren,
I was going
hashtag
with that,
all cubes are Delta Quadrant.
Not all cubes. so they go to warp with Narek following him with his little spinny, you know, it's like one of those mazes that's made out of a sphere and you have to try to get the ball in the middle. That's what it looked like. But
by the way, he's not cloaked.
He's just in their baffles. It's submarine warfare, Daniel. If you stay right behind him. I just watched The Hunt for the Red October because of
I thought you were going to say down Periscope.
No, we were talking. Oh, that's there's another one. Anyway. So
I'm a Russian
Let's get to Nepenthe. We pop out. Thank God, not on the other side of the planet, because apparently we weren't super specific about. I mean, I'm just saying it could have happened, but no. So we show up on Nepenthe, and it's Lord of the Flies all over, again. Kestra is there with the bow and arrow, and man, just right off the bat, let's just talk about Kestra. I mean, not just this scene, but like her whole. Her whole arc is a great character, wonderfully acted, just through the eyes of a child, just her interaction with Soji. And, you know, I got a lot of Renee vibes, you know, kind of from that, from the scenes we've seen with
I was about to say,
but
literally how they meet is the same way we meet Renee. Hi, women.
It is. Yeah. I had a feeling about that. And even he jokes about his heart. He's like, better not aim for my heart. It's like solidarium. Daniel, what did you think of Kestra overall, the character?
Well, I liked the character a lot. I will say when she first shows up, I don't know if you remember this old Disney film, Jungle to Jungle.
Okay, yes, with
Tim Allen.
Tim Allen, yep.
Yep, of Galaxy Quest fame. And
prolific Star Trek actor. Yes,
she looks just like the kid from Jungle to Jungle. That's just it's stuck in my brain.
It's been a decade or two since I've seen that, so that's but yes.
But anyways, Kestra, great reference. I mean, sad reference, of course.
Yeah,
great reference.
A lot of references in this episode, yes. Guys. We're gonna be unpacking for
a
while.
Kestra, a really solid character, definitely. And fits as like the Riker. Child, the Troy Riker child, it really, I feel like she fits within that.
She would be their kid.
Yeah.
And again, for those who haven't been trolling the internet through, not in a bad way, but like looking for information. So Kestra is the name of her aunt, basically, more specifically, Troy's sister, elder sister, that died and we learned about in the TNG episode Dark Page. But it's just great and touching, you know. And it's also one of those, you know, it's not really hidden. It's not like a secret, but, you know, Star Trek fans that know enough about the Troy family would see that. And fortunately, she has the hyphen name, so for the Memory Alpha article to stay separate, because you have Kestra Troy and then Kestra Troy Riker.
Oh, interesting.
Okay. Yeah, so she's got the... Because when you look it up, that's how they define it.
So I,
but yeah, great character, and go ahead.
I was gonna say, I just thought about this, and I know this is stupid of me to just think about this. So she's a quarter Beta Zed. And so I don't know what, if anything, that means. but
oh, that's a good. I didn't even think about the fact that she might have empathic powers. It didn't even cross my mind.
So maybe that helps her relationship.
Well, so here's the thing. It wouldn't be empathic powers, right? So it goes from. So telepath,
like a mood ring. Full. What do you get, Daniel?
Well, exactly. Yeah. What would half of an empath be? And it would be like, oh, I guess she gets moody when other people are upset or something like that. It would be very
sympathetic. Something.
Yeah, she'd be a sympath.
Yeah.
I guess is what you'd call her.
Yeah. That's a good point. Because she's a quarter Beta Zed.
It would feel very muted, I think. I think it would be. Mm-hmm. We'll get into the empath stuff later, though, because I really want to talk about Troy, but.
And that might explain also her fascination, quote unquote, with Soji, because again, she would not pick up anything off of her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Because theoretically, her mom can block her, and then I don't know, maybe can't read parents or something. But who knows?
But if we're talking also about that introduction scene, I think we just need to bring up the fact that Picard really messed up when he brings up Data. Right in front of her, before he mentions that, hey, you might be a robot lady.
So you're an android, and like, oh god.
oh, Andrew's sister's dead. Oh, this is really uncomfortable.
Yeah,
this is all
coming
out.
They kind of had to get through all that, and there are worse ways for that to go down.
And the part where Kestra said, "There's only 3 episodes left," and you're like, "Oh god, man, you're just really."
But I also like the whole, you know, she's a child, but in that fun summer way that we all remember, you know, where she's got like imaginary languages and she's playing out back at her, you know, the cabin in the woods. And, you know, there was just a nice piece about her character that for somehow she was introduced and we were told so much about her. We don't know a lot about her, really. But we got just enough, you know, that it felt like a full character. Yeah. So we get the android foot in mouth of learning about Data. Detached for this moment. And
I don't want to do the bottom line up front with this episode, but just because we're mentioning Data, and that's basically going to lead me to the whole thesis of this episode, is that, I mean, so this Data mention, and, you know, the Data mentions throughout this episode, and of course, the Data mentions throughout the series is very much a love letter, obviously, to Data. And sometimes I wonder whether it's maybe too much, but it's not, I guess. But I'm like, you know, there's other characters in TNG. But no, I mean, I get it. It's good. Everyone's very lovingly when they talk about him. I think to spoil the ending of this episode for me is that when we first thought about Picard and thought about bringing back TNG members and is it too much? Should we do original? Is it fan service? But like watching this episode, I'm like, this really could have been not the whole series, but I don't think we should have been afraid as we were to have, if you want to call it fan service or just call it bringing back the TNG crew. Cause to me, it worked very well.
It did work. It did work really well. We get, this, but it also starts to take us onto that Soji's, like, she's just been through a lot. I mean, that's the underlying fact of this whole episode is she's like, I don't know which way is up. Her whole world fell apart in a day.
She keeps saying computer and program.
You know. basically. So, I honestly, and we'll get to it, but, like, we get some great Troy moments, Riker moments, tons of moments, like, this is what she needed to get through this. Because Picard was not equipped to help her in that way, at least not as well as Troy and Riker.
He's not a parent.
Do.
Yeah, we get
it's apparent he's not apparent.
So here's the thing. I kind of disagree with that. Like, the episode presents it that way. Like, when Troy is lecturing Picard later on in the episode about, well, you know you're real. And I'm like, I can name off the top of my head five episodes where Picard questions if he's real or not. Like, and like, where all of
just not today.
You know, it's like, you know, Picard absolutely knows what it's like to question everything and who he is and identity and all that sort of stuff. It's a weird thing to sort of rap on him about. And it's weird that he doesn't know. Like, I get that he would be bad at being a parent, but that's way too soon in this relationship to see that at all. And yeah. It's like, wait, that aspect of it, he totally gets. So it's like a really weird, again, in my, like, watching it, I'm just like, this is, again, pushing character development at light speed instead of taking it a little slower. Well, like,
warp speed.
Right. Sorry. Oh, God.
You're going to get letters now. Doing. No. pads, I mean.
Well,
sorry.
And, oh, man. Imagine if they had made a deep dive reference when she starts talking about, you know, not knowing what's real. Or, like, her mind, and Riker pulls out, like, that episode where he was in the play.
I'm not crazy!
Oh, man. That would have been... I mean, I agree that's too much, but that would have been the best of deep dives.
He just goes up to her and says, you just gotta keep repeating to yourself that you're not crazy. Yeah, just simple line. You could have done it.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, it's easy. So, okay, so we come to the cabin in the woods, little house on the prairie, and, we see Troy and Riker, and he's like throws up the shields right away, which is the best it's so funny.
If you had told me, well, I mean, you didn't tell me. I knew. I've seen the trailer. That okay, Riker's going to be in this episode, and I was like, oh, cool. I really don't, you know, what would you like this to happen? I'm like, well, nothing needs to happen. I mean, Riker's in it; it's fine. You know, I don't have a list. But then you're like, what if we can get him to say red alert and shields up? I'm like. Oh, could you? Could you do that?
In a house, yeah.
It's so funny because that's such a great example of good like nostalgia buttons hitting, because like I wouldn't have thought that would have done anything for me.
But when it shows that he's prepared.
Yeah, when he shouts, shields up, you're like, oh boy. Like it just clicks in your brain. Like, oh, yeah, now we're in it. All right, this is real.
Yeah. Is the cabin about to take off, Riker? Are we going on an adventure?
Kestra, fire. Dun, 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 dun.
And then she shoots her bow. It's like, pew.
Kestra, pizza.
I know, red alert pizza.
He says that.
I know.
He says,
he's
like,
cancel red alert.
But he's burning the pizza. Oh, and again, so we have a great talk with Riker and Picard. And just to generalize, like, again, this whole episode, there's some great dynamics between Riker and Picard. And you always feel the respect from Riker, but he also doesn't let Picard slide. Like, he's like, you know, when at the beginning, you know, Picard's all like, well, I don't want to tell you, like, I don't want to be in danger. And it's like, you came here.
He's like, let me guess.
And I'm pretty sure it's this, and this. Let me guess. It's like, without reading the script, it's
she's
blah, blah,
obviously
blah, blah, blah,
an
and it's like, yeah, I know that head tick anywhere. And which again, it's like, okay, it's like, oh man, well-written characters that are smart. I mean, that's just, oh, I love that. I love it so much that he's no slouch. He's like, yes, we'll help you, but you can't treat us like you're up here and the captain and we're down here, the crew, and we get to, you know, no, we're all in this together.
Okay. I knew my only quibble, and it's just, like I said, love this episode and I don't want to be, my only quibble is that I feel like nobody wants to acknowledge what happened after Nemesis for Riker, because it's like, oh yes, this was Commander Riker. I'm like, you mean Captain Riker? Excuse me? No one said the Titan ever.
Oh, that's true. I didn't notice that.
I feel like they broached it, but when Riker was like, best captain ever.
I thought there was going to be a reference like that. He's like, I'm the best captain ever. You know.
It reminds me of my growing up. So my dad's name is John, and you know, as kids, you know, certain things are funny to you. And we had a family friend that was named John Wilson, and it was the only other John we knew. you know, so as kids, we're like, you know, we'd tease him, and he'd be like, who's the best dad in the world? And we'd be like, John Wilson. Like, we, you know, again, we're like six or so. Like, we're, you know, dumb. But anyway, it, yeah, kind of like, who's the best captain in the world? Captain Picard. You know. But, yeah, so we get.
Real quick, though, I want to nitpick that moment. I agree with you. Riker deducing what was going on was great. It bothered me that all of us, she did one head tick, and like, this is not an established character trait of this character at all. So I don't know where it comes from.
She looks like Data, like, too, by the way. I mean, you know, casting knows what they did.
She does. Yeah. But it just bothered me. I thought that was like, wait a minute. If this was her thing, I'd recognize that head tilt anywhere, which was such a Riker line. But like, I wish they just incorporated that from the start.
Data and I have served together. We are comrades. Well, I respect him not only as a man.
I would also assume, because again, I only saw the episode once, probably not a million times like y'all, that there's probably a moment where he talked with his wife and she's like, yeah, I sense nothing from her, by the way. So she's not Ferengi,
yeah,
so the list is pretty small, you know.
No, there's that scene. There's that whole scene where when they all meet up together.
Right.
And this is actually a good scene to talk about, because Troy talks about, oh, she's confused and all this sort of stuff, but I sense nothing from her, which actually throws up a lot of red flags for me, because if these new androids or synths are undetectable as synths and they just come out as humans, like, I don't know, maybe a fifth of all species in Star Trek are in some way telepathic, and if none of them can sense these creatures, like... That is a huge deal.
But
like,
remember,
that is actually not, that is
true.
Non-trivial.
Due to plot holes, several species cannot be sensed by telepaths.
Wait a minute. I don't know if you follow.
Like Ferengi.
Whenever the story calls for it.
Species.
That's what I'm saying.
Well, right. But like, she's supposed to be human.
Jem'Hadar, I believe, actually.
That you would think that in anywhere, like, say, on
that's
her way
true.
To the Borg cube, she would have encountered a beta Z, and talk to one, and they're like, hey, you're not human, I can't see.
But there's also a lot of other human looking like, not
Time
even
Lords.
Any forehead greeblies, like, that aren't human. I totally get what you're saying, Daniel, and that is, although I don't feel like the point is to maybe it is to be pretending.
Well,
I
thought
know.
One yeah, thing about because I think I mentioned this like the first episode in Remembrance, where, you know, I saw Patrick Stewart, and then it took me, you know, I don't know, what's that line from First Contact, 0.23 seconds, for me to then be like, oh, it's Jean-Luc. You know, in other words, like, I saw the actor first before I saw the character, just because it's been a while, you know. And, you know, I've seen him in other stuff. And so when I saw Marina, I think when I first saw her, it was Marina, and it took me a couple seconds to then have her be Troy again. And I think it was, you know, and this is very short, of course, like I said, but when she talked to Jean-Luc, it's because, of course, she was sensing what he felt, you know, because for a second I forgot
she has that certain tone,
like, I forgot she was an empath, because I just saw Marina, like, I didn't think, like, oh, it's Troy who can sense what Picard's, and that's how she, it took me a second to get into that character. But it was because all these guys, you know, Frakes, of course, haven't seen him play Riker in forever, you know, so it's kind of interesting to kind of get that characterization back.
I would say that reintroduction scene between Troy and Picard, that you're talking about, Philip, where she senses that he's under a lot of stress, and then without saying a word, she senses, and they don't even directly address this.
She's like, how bad? And he's like, bad enough.
And then she senses his disease, and he's
all right.
He's like, I'm fine. Like, that's some of the best Troy writing. Like, honestly, that's the writers actually consciously thinking about how somebody would do this.
And the way Picard says, I'm fine, is that specific way that people who are ill say they're fine.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, it was, it was really good.
It was really, that was great. That was probably the best part of the episode.
Yeah.
I
mean, all those, Will and Jean-Luc on the dock or whatever you want to call it. All that was good, because just that whole
episode.
But because they were always, I mean, outside of Kirk. Go ahead.
And I I just say, and through all this, though, I didn't feel, I'm saying this is a good thing, like, I didn't feel like every time we cut to the planet, the action stopped. Like, no, it felt like we needed everything that was unpacked in these scenes. And, you know, from bunny corn sausage to, you know, him just trying to come up with a plan. And, you know, and I loved the way they're reassuring Picard, and they're like, you know, just be the Picard we know you are. Like, not that you have to have the plan, but, you know, you are compassionate and you are, you know, you do the right thing. And, you know, he was kind of wavering off of his star for a moment and needed his friends to put him back.
Because
on
the part of it not only was to reassure him of who he is, but part of what makes him great is his people. You know, but you don't, he doesn't have all the answers. He's never had all the answers. He's had his crew.
No.
And so, to, you know, pretend like our dining table's the ready room, which I would have said conference room, but whatever. you know, Kester will do a PowerPoint. It'll be good. I did like that. You know,
that was a great scene. And then we get a lot about Data. And again, it's interesting using Kestra as the bridge to kind of introduce Soji to a lot of these things. And also, you know, and again, it's not fan service to talk about Data. It's in-universe stuff that these people would know. And, you know, they talk about, and again, how they focus on, like, mucus and, you know, just how human she is.
It bothers me. Like, I agree with you. Most of this stuff is really, really good. It bothers me, like, that conversation that Kestra has with Soji. And she's like, do you play the violin? Yeah.
Sherlock Holmes.
Sherlock Holmes? And like,
as if like all the things your father liked, you should, like all androids play the violin. Like, do they?
Well, How many have we had? Like, you know,
Just the problem I think that I have with this show. Some of the problem here how the writers are handling it, again, and I mentioned this last week, they're acting like Data was her active father. Like, she was created out of bits of
him. But she doesn't know that.
No,
she's
I don't blame the character. I don't blame the character. Yeah. I blame the writing. And it's just frustrating because it's like, well, why are we even exploring these things? Like, this actually is actively not anything that that is... I don't know. It feels like a distraction.
And I struggle with that a little bit because they do rely heavily on Data as father. When, of course, you know, it should say Maddox as father. You know, it's obviously techno battle and pseudoscience, but if we're going to embrace that for a second, Data is genetically the father, because theoretically his positronic whatever is her
matrix.
Yeah. So, no. You know, obviously, again, you know, just because you're genetically, you know, it's like being adopted, right? You know, her adopted father is Maddox, but her genetic father is Data, you know, so.
Right. So we go into Thad's room, but this is where we get thrown kind of a curveball. Like, it's kind of all through subtle
Troy's reluctance to
read between the lines. But, you know, they lost a kid, that they lost their firstborn. And you're just like, I was not expecting that to come out of this episode, especially with how fast, like you're saying, Daniel, this show is moving. But and as someone pointed out later, the fact that Picard didn't remember that he had seen Thad when he was 5 might be also a sign of his erotic syndrome of memory issues.
Oh, interesting. I didn't think about that. Also, mark the name Thaddeus as a Voyager reference, because
yes,
we learned about Riker's ancestor in one of the Q episodes.
Thaddeus
Q in the Gray, I think,
Riker.
Right?
Yeah.
No.
Q2.
Q2.
It's the one with the trial. Proof? Because it was Q2 Quinn that helped him, not QRQ.
I'm going to check that episode title. But anyway, But two things about that. My first thought during the episode and then, like, until 5 seconds ago was that, like, the thing about Star Trek Picard, like, everyone has to have a crappy life. What the heck? You know, no one has had a happy, like, you know, Seven's got, you know, issues with Ichab getting killed off before her eyes, and now she's like a murderous revenge bot. Yeah. And
Ralphie's lost her son,
and then Troy
basically.
Riker had a dead kid. I'm like, are you? Why is this world shit? You know, like, but I think now that I think about it, which I don't like it, but I'm just going to accept it, that the writers are like, okay, we want to introduce Riker and Troy. So then the obvious question is, why don't Riker and Troy go with Picard? Well, we have to create a reason why they wouldn't. Mm. What would stop them? And if they had a kid,
fear
and,
of the loss of their daughter.
You know, okay, kid, but can't you bring the kid? Well, what would be something that would make them afraid to put their child into danger? What if they lost a child? So then that sort of grounds them to where they are, where they can't leave. So,
and Troy's already lost a child in the child.
That's true. Ian, that's true.
Well, I mean, she went through the motions of it, you know.
I have two things to talk about. There's one real quick comment. When they mentioned that the soil has regenerative mm-hmm. properties, I wondered, is this planet inside the
fire? Ooh, that's not a bad question. I mean, the fact that you see space around it probably says no, but yeah.
Could be very deep in or right on the border or whatever.
I mean, they harvested the rings already. I will say, you know, trust me. The way this Federation's going, trust me, they harvested those rings like 10 years ago.
Good thing Picard moved these people because we need
more
it.
Thing, like,
I will say, the whole, like, the Thaddeus thing is fine. And it was handled well, I think. Until the conversation where Troy has with Soji. And it feels
about the positronic brain.
And it just feels weird and way too convenient. Yeah. And she's like, by the way, it happened.
Well,
you can only-
I mean, it's showing the impact, the far-reaching impact of the decision.
I get it.
It just seemed like the one thing that could save.
Yeah. Just an- is the bones of an android brewed at midnight. It's basically what she's saying.
Take a step into
but there were no androids around. Yeah. Yeah, but there were no androids around, so he died, like, looking right at her.
It's just, I just wish, I don't know.
You're not wrong, Daniel. Right. You're not wrong.
It just felt forced. I wish it wasn't that way. I wish it was more of a, I wish it was more of like a metaphor, and she did Troy, she could have the same conversation and just say, being normal or being whatever, being regular, whatever, I can't remember what word, is not always better. And that would be, like, it'd be the same impact for Soji, and I think that's what the point of the conversation. But it just felt so on the nose where she was like, you know, only in the brain of a positron can we ever create this cure. And I was like, oh, it just ripped me right out of that moment. It bothered me.
And I mean, I did appreciate, I mean, is this, and I'm not, I mean, I say it in a funny way, but I'm not trying to be funny. Is this the best counselor, Troy, we've ever seen counseling Soji?
She was.
Yeah, I mean, like, because really we always tease, you know, Guinan's the real counselor on the Enterprise.
That's true. No, she was firing all cylinders.
Even, like, when Soji was rejecting it, oh, by the fact that you're being this caring and open makes me trust you even less. And so, you know, when she, you know, whatever. But I mean, Troy is still able to process it when she talks to Jean-Luc. But, you know, she's still on her game. So it makes me wonder what Will and Deanna do all day, because they're just. In the cabin planet, you know, I don't know what they do for fun.
All right.
Tomatoes?
I guess.
Yes.
But so, just one last fan moment, just because I see where I wrote it down. And it's just a simple word that made me have a fan tingle when they were around the pizza table and Picard just says, thoughts. And I'm like, oh, God. Yep. Oh, God. Yeah. Oh,
oh, you're
gosh.
Right.
I was like, oh, man.
Well, we could technobabble the technobabble, or we could reverse the positronic blah, blah, blah. You know. That's true. I mean, we're only on Act 2, guys, and this is already a great episode.
Well, we haven't talked to the part
so
where
back
I'm
aboard.
Go off on once we get back to the artifact.
All right. So back to the Siren, Rios. They're noticing the Romulans there. They're trying to get away. You know, Girardi's looking super sketchy, and so she all of a sudden wants to go home. She's demanding to be home, that Picard can handle himself. She hates Sense now, which again, it's like, that was your whole life. They all pick up on
but
it. They're
do
like,
they?
That's really weird.
Because I mean, not that. this is basically, long story short,
in this world of broken people, it's not not abnormal.
No, I'm saying,
Phillips,
long story short, the writers are making these characters stupid. You know, wow, Agnes Shirtlet's guilty about something. Well, it's probably nothing. Why don't you go give her some cake and chocolate milk, Raffi? I'm sure it's nothing. And then it's like, okay. And, you know, I don't know. And then when Raffi's, yeah. or excuse me, sorry, when Rios is like, oh, I think Raffi might have, you know, I'm like, does anyone have a tricorder? Like, have you seen a tricorder used in this series ever?
That's true. I have not seen a tricorder used in
this
series.
You just go, hey, Rat, you know, you just see Rios going, scan. Oh, not you. Well, there's only one possibility left. Let me go scan Agnes. You know, I mean, it's just, come on.
Yeah. Well, fortunately, we cut back to the planet great. And, but again, we get more, and Soji's starting to act more like an android. She's memorizes a book in 2 minutes. 300-page book, and you know, we get our greatest Captain Ever lines, and it's, you know, this is a great moment, like you were saying, Daniel, where Riker just starts to break down. Well, you know, you're here and you're worried about cloaking, which means Romulans, which means Tal Shiar, and blah blah blah, and you know, A to B to C, and we get the classic Picard arrogance, you know, half joke, but he's serious. It's like, you know, don't treat us like, you know, we're your crew, you know, we're your friends. And, you know, again, we get just interesting moments, you know, Soji admitting she had never eaten something that wasn't from a replicator, you know, and you have, you know, what is one's home world?
I like that.
You know, I mean, that way, I mean, there was tons of themes thrown out in this episode. Like,
with that and Soji and all that.
Which also especially makes sense in a spacefaring populace. I mean, again, we have that on a national level here, but I never thought about the fact of if you grew up on a starship and wanting to feel like you had a home world, you know, that's a great thing to touch upon.
Do you think Wesley has that problem?
He has a light world.
Yeah.
I mean, he was raised on Earth, presumably.
We don't want to talk about Wesley.
I don't know. I actually did like the homeworld stuff.
Well, because, like, for instance, not to go on a tangent, but with Naomi, right, who was born on Voyager, you know, she doesn't have a home because her father's what, Kentarian, her mother's Terran. So, you know, who she consider?
Although, okay, I just feel like I found a
plot. Oh, there's
plot
several, but go ahead.
Hole.
Well, also, real quick, just right before you do that, Darren.
Right.
She still thinks she's Terran. She still thinks she's human. And she knows she's not human anymore, but she's still... Her home world is still Earth.
Right.
It may not be true, but it's like, at least she's... You would think that she wouldn't get over that in, like, the 10 minutes.
Well, but again, the whole home world, like, her, the synth home world, like, it's a big running motif that we're heading towards.
I get it. Yeah, I get it.
Yeah. Oh, wait, so when Troy is talking about, you know, Thad had this disease and it can only be cured in the positronic matrix, you know, but yeah, silicon based, but they couldn't, a new one couldn't be created because of the synth ban. And I'm thinking, wait a minute. So you're telling me that Troy and Riker couldn't go to Dr. Beverly Crusher, wherever she was in this world, and she wouldn't have found a way to get around the synth ban, or in secret have created a positronic or pulled whatever string she needed to do to save their kid? Like, I can't buy that.
They couldn't have pulled lore out of storage.
B4's in storage.
In storage. They could have. Wait a minute. Is this a latent disease from the crystalline entity that maybe infected one
the
of
silicon
the Rikers?
Avatar.
And they were only. Yeah, they were only.
Oh, that's true.
They could have only been carriers until their children.
Oh.
I mean, I was just thinking that, though, like, if we knew that Dr. Crusher was out, you know, being Dr. Crusher, like, imagine, yeah, I can't think of a situation where if those two people, Troy and Riker, told her, our kid will die unless you find a way to cure this disease in a positronic, like, they would find a way. But, you know, we're not going down that path just yet, but. Yeah, it's
Darren. But, we needed a reason. They couldn't join Jean-Luc. That's the reason.
No, I understand. I understand. I just hadn't thought of that point, but so the Riker cancels red alert on the burnt tomato. Great, great line. I think everyone I saw who posted about this episode afterwards was like, can we just have a whole show of this? Or like two episodes of this?
If it wasn't the stupid 10-episode thing, it should have been two episodes. You know, they get there is the first episode, and they leave is the second episode. Like, you know, I mean, I get there's multiple storylines, blah, blah, blah. But
I mean, and you'd also have to stretch out
you could.
Things,
you know,
but it was great.
Because, like, we're going to meet the wacky captain on the hill, which this is, and I have no reason to believe this, but just because, you know, small universe, everything has to be connected. I'm going to go ahead and throw this out. I'll be 100% wrong. This captain was Rios's old captain.
Wait a minute.
Oh.
Hang on. Two things I'm very confused about. Who are you talking about?
Captain What's His Face.
Oh yeah, but we're Captain... not. We aren't going to meet him.
Why do you say that?
Well, but we have to take.
Because Rios is on his way. Like Rios.
Because Rios actually showed up.
Rios is the one that shows up.
That's true. Plan A was to go to Captain on the Hill and have him take a. Plan B is Rios actually showed up. That's true. Yeah. That's true.
And also just. So you don't think this in the future, Philip. Rios, his whole thing was that he saw his commander's head explode or whatever when he
got
shot.
Is that what he said?
I don't know. That's true.
Yeah. So we won't be seeing him, presumably, unless
Commander
it's a
Remick
guess,
was his
but.
Captain?
So back aboard the artifact.
All right, here we go.
Hugh throws around some lines about taking the cube away, which apparently is treason. And blah blah blah. We kill
bullshit.
Hugh.
This is BS. This is Dr. Culver all over again. I mean, are you?
Yeah, this was dumb.
Me? Like, no, no. You can't introduce him. Make him awesome. He's the only innocent character that exists in the series. By the way, I mean, except Elnor. Maybe Elnor. Elnor and Hugh. Those are the only two. That's why they paired them together.
And they paired him up.
But it's
I didn't like it either. I'd also didn't feel like a earned death. You know what I mean? Like it's like Jadzia dying. It's like, oh, let's just do it. Like, okay.
Yeah.
Why?
Because it was just so half-hearted. Like, oh, we're violent here in Picard. She threw the knives and killed him. I'm like, if you were going to kill him.
And she killed him not in front of Picard, the person who actually cares about him. She threw him in front of, you know, Legolas, and nobody cares.
And it was supposed to be like emotional. I've known you for 25 minutes, man. Yeah. I'm so sad that you're done. I don't know. This part of the episode really, really bothered me.
I'll speculate. What I think would have been better.
Lots of things. Anything.
Well, okay. Yeah,
literally anything. 27 or 6 months.
They fight. We get to the part of the next episode where he goes. They need to activate the queen cell. Like, obviously, that's what they're going to be doing. But they're working together, but it's very difficult. But he has to sacrifice himself staying behind or staying at a certain point. Something like that. Yeah. Like, kill him like that. Don't kill him by,
random
like,
knife
the dagger. Throw. Was that the dagger of the mind, guys?
I was just thinking, if. You know, we kind of get like shades of like Pike and Spock from the second movie there. I can't even say its name. But anyway, you know, so when Hugh is dying, talking to Elnor, what if Hugh his assimilator went to Elnor?
Ooh,
not like that. Like we would literally assimilate him, but that he would implant him with, you know, a message and abilities. Yeah. Basically, you're going to plus up Elnor's character sheet a little bit here.
Maybe give him something that, like, comes up over his vision that only he can see, and it's like, hi, this is Hugh. In the case of my death, do these actions.
Also, like next episode, when he's suddenly piloting the Borg ship, it's like, oh, okay.
Okay, ask you, Philip, would you be okay if Hugh came back next episode?
You can't do that. You've already squished my
heart. I'm not saying it's a good idea. I'm just saying he's Borg. Like, I don't see why they could figure something out.
Self-healing. Well, he's not that much Borg anymore.
It's what the Borg are known for.
You know what an awesome thing would have been, and this is actually kind of also brings in a topic that I wanted to talk about, is the non-present presence of the Borg and how they're completely inactive during this whole thing. Mm-hmm. And they may be responsible for everything at the end. We don't know, but we'll find out later. But what if, like, that lady whoever her name is, she's so forgettable, she shouldn't be able to kill Hugh.
Nerissa.
She's like going to kill him and stuff, and then like the gray alert goes off and all the Borgs activate and just crush her because she's useless. And just bothers me so much. Like,
or make like a human shield in front of Hugh or something. Yeah, like you think they would react.
Or she throws the knife and it hits the green shield on him. He's adapted.
Oh, there you go.
That would have
actually
been
only works
cool.
against phasers, not knives.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's also. I would love to talk with the writers about Elnor. I mean, I don't have a problem with him, but the whole like the sword thing, because it's like, you know, he's throwing the sword around, and then Marissa's like, oh, yeah, well, here, I've got a disruptor. Bang, bang. There, I just killed everyone. That's, you know, so I'm like, what's your thought process about, again, having the swords versus, like, maybe he's good with all weapons, right? Maybe it's just not swords. Maybe it's everything.
Yeah, I don't know.
But anyway.
All right, so blah, 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 chocolate milk, blah, 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 red velvet cake. You can move through all that.
Kind of stupid, in my opinion.
We're a temporary good person in case of emergencies. But back on the planet, Riker serving dinner.
Yeah.
Picard can't reach Rios and wonders if he needs another ship. We talk about Captain Crandall and his ship, the Inside Strait, from a gambling planet. I don't know. Oh, man, if it's a Ferengi, that would be hilarious.
Well, the thing was, and Kestra's a kid, so I can't always 100% believe what she says, but she's like, oh, he's almost as old as you, Picard, or whatever she says. And I'm like, so, it's in his peer group. So, I mean, like, how can they not show this? Like, you can't, I mean, they will. They will. Yeah. I mean, they'll ignore it is what I'm saying. But you can't reference a character that much and not show him. I mean, now I want to know who the heck is the crazy captain on the hill.
But at the end of the day, we learn, you know, we know her planet and look through the skylight. It's her home world. We use the word home world a lot. And then she IMs
Kestra,
Captain Crandall.
No devices at the table. We've talked about this.
And he says, oh, what you're looking for is the Gulliad system in the Vibe sector, which didn't have a name, only a number. Was the number like what? 11001001?
Darren, can you name me the capital of Wyoming?
Pierre? No.
No.
Can you name
Washington.
Me
not off the top?
Can you
of
name
the
me the capital of the 15th state? No, of course not. This is stupid. How would he know this? How would he know this? This is crazy.
He Googled it too.
It's just little things. I assumed she was Googling. That's what I thought she was doing. I thought she was just asking
Google.
The computer.
Oh, so it's like Ask Jeeves, but it's Ask Captain on the Hill.
Captain Crandall.
Yep. Ask Captain Crandall.
Ask CC. Hey CC. Is it? You know.
It was a cute scene. Whatever. Whatever. I'm not too upset.
Yeah. All right, so Jurati's taken to sick bay because she is not fine. She's throwing up. And
so can we talk about this?
No sense. There's no sense here, Philip.
Well,
as soon as you eat the pill,
he starts to throw shade on Raffi, which is all weird. And
not the guilty
basically,
girl.
After Rios leaves, she replicates using like a 3D printer, which is kind of weird.
It was an actual 3D printer. It's not even.
It's actual 3D printer, but you didn't see the printed mood. It was just like, and I mean,
I've noticed.
I did like the sub menu, as she was pushing the buttons. It changed like in a progressive series, like as she was sub menuing down to the item she wanted, which was kind of cool. So usually I don't see that.
This may kill you. Please enjoy.
Yeah. So she takes it, and they call Rios to sick bay. And she's in a coma. Dun, 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 dun.
And then we get sort of, I forgot his name. The other Romulan, sexy Romulan, just be like, no, banging his board. No, I've lost her, lost them. I can't track them.
Right. He's lost his,
tracking device.
Yeah. And let's see.
Sorry, it's okay.
Okay, that's what it was. Gosh. Wrap up what you want about.
I'm just going to say,
Jurati.
So let's talk about Agnes. So. She's done with everything.
Biggest hypo spray I've ever seen. Just saying.
Well, it's a neural disruptor or whatever the hell it was. But anyway, so she's done with everything. She wants to go home, which is not at all suspicious, of course. So I don't know. I'm just trying to, and I get that she's
being as subtle as the admiral who slowly turned young and then like kung fu kicked Riker all over the floor, like.
Well, I get that she's emotional, but I don't like saying that because it's like, well, because she's a woman. And, you know, no, But I hate that that's the characterization they're giving her. That she is, you know, to me, she had so much more potential than what they're doing with her. But anyway, so she's so emotional. She's, you know, she can't handle it. I mean, this is what it seems to me. You correct me if I'm wrong. And she just wants to leave and hide under a blanket or something. But then...
I don't think she actually wants to hide. I think she doesn't want to hurt her friends anymore. And she realizes that she is hurting them because she's got the tracker.
She's going to hurt Picard by stranding him if they go home. And Soji. Because she's just like, let's go home. Let's leave him there. Screw them. Who cares about stupid sense? And also because I would think she would care about the synth if apparently they're the end of the world, but then she makes a decision. No, wait, I'm being tracked. Let me have a heroic moment. I'll kill myself basically. I mean, you know, whatever, but I didn't see that switch flip, but I don't
Shouldn't
know.
Her motivations now be the same as the Jotvash? Shouldn't she now
kill
want the
synths.
Destruction of the synths?
I guess. I don't know.
Isn't that the idea, though? Like, the idea is that they implanted in her, hey, this is the end of the universe.
They basically implanted their manifesto into her brain.
Right.
Right.
Which is the end of the...
Like a quick PowerPoint of their manifesto.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Do you have a moment to talk about the death of...
Oh, God. I hope we get to this... I hope we get more. God, I hope we get some closure. That's the thing.
Well, they were teasing us. Agnes's stuff.
Discovery flashbacks. No, it's just constant discovery flashbacks, and it's just it's gonna be the season finale of season two of Discovery all over again, and we're gonna still be at the end of the season. And be like, what? Why?
And the Enterprise G is gonna pull up.
Captain Worf. Dun da da.
Okay, so this, I'm glad Memory Alpha is explaining it, because because I didn't realize what it was, so back on the artifact, Eleanor observes the comm chip.
Oh, yeah.
Similar to the one 7 of 9 had given Picard.
I didn't get that.
I was like, what the heck is that? Obviously it's important, but I couldn't.
Well, there's a name on it.
It was hanging from the console used by Hugh, so I'm assuming it was Hugh.
But there was a name on it, wasn't there? It was something SOS.
Oh, and it says it uses it to send out an emergency signal to the Fenris Rangers.
Oh.
And that's why 7 is going to show up.
I didn't get it until next week on Picard. And then 7 shows up. The button that she gave Picard to only use in case of
They didn't
of
make it clear enough that that was like a Fenris Ranger brand special button. I thought it was just like
where,
a comm
Where would it have come from?
Chip.
Right.
I mean, that's not literally the one 7 gave Picard.
It was Picard's get out of jail free card to call 7. Which I think is also...
Oh, but no, but you have a good point. How did Hugh get it, or how did it end up on the Borg cube?
No. Hugh didn't have it. Eleanor got it.
Didn't Picard give it to him before he left in the trajector?
Maybe.
I don't know. Yeah. Anyway, back on the planet where good things happen. Picard tells Riker that the siren only came into Khan's range late the previous evening. And then he says he has a decidedly motley crew. asks if he ever thought about going to Starfleet. Riker is on active reserve. So, you know, what does he put in his 2 weeks every year?
Just like, so you guys know, he says active reserve and it would take something real big to pull me in. So just so you know, I have a sneaking suspicion there's going to be a Riker saves the day.
I love that. Woohoo! Yeah. You're all clear, Picard. Go for it.
He brought the Titan out of mothballs.
The season finale takes place in the Devron system. I'm calling right now.
Oh my gosh!
The phaser slices callbacks. Through the Romulan ship.
It comes through from like the Z axis. Yes. It's like
it's the Devron system.
Anyway, so. He thanks him. This is where we get the scene on the lake, and you know, thanks him for not taking him out of the mission, and you know, he knows some bad things happened to Soji, but you know, something bad happened to her. Her parents helped her through, but Soji didn't have parents. Blah 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 blah. Anyway, he braces his friend, and he and Soji prepare to leave. We get another moment with Kestra. We get the broken compass again. Lots of stuff about homeworld and stuff like that, and. Then Picard caps his comm badge and 2 to beam up. And that ends, episode 7. That was a good episode. I really liked it.
despite Hugh's death and Elnor's stupid mission, you know, just find an XP. Good luck with that. Bye, die.
Because are they all dead? Because I got the feeling that the 12 she shot were all of them.
And
the
T shows them killing even more. So, yay, look forward to that massacre. But anyway, there is a small part of me that is looking forward to the Borg ship powering up.
Yo, it's so gonna happen.
Going, you know, medieval on the Romulans.
Yeah.
So.
Philip, you got me going already. I want the Borg to be a part of this show, and I want them, and they
are. We just kill them whenever we see them.
They've been
XB, Hugh, Echeb.
They've been. That's right. They've been. Props.
I'm just saying.
They've been background dressing. They have literally been the set of half of the show. I am waiting for the Borg to become an active participant in the story, and you would think that they would naturally fit inside of a story that features synths versus humans. If they don't, I'm 50-50 on this because I don't know if I trust the writers enough. I feel like they're just going to just wash over it. I want them to be a part of the story, and I want to know we don't know. Where are the Borg now? What are their strengths like? What happened after Voyager? Where do they exist?
I still want to know, where did this cube come from?
Well, the problem, you know, unfortunately, now that we're doing this scenario, Daniel, and I'm all with you, but then I kind of, and this is based in Discovery, but this realm of writers, you know what they'll do, Daniel? Narissa will get assimilated and become the new Borg queen.
At least it'd be something. I kind of, yeah, I think I'd hate that, but at least it would be something. At least ignore the Borg. I guess is what I'm saying.
And just a quick call back to Thaddeus Riker. It was Death Wish was the name of the episode.
I knew it was something different.
Yeah. We're all wrong.
No, no. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So, yeah. Well, we're not going to get into the teaser for next week because, you know, that's next week. But, the title, though, for next week is Broken Pieces.
So 3 episodes left?
So this is episode 8, and I think it's 10 total, right?
8 of 10.
Yeah. 8 of 10. Oh, this was 7 of 10. Oh, it's so close to being. But yeah, so we'll see what happens there. Do we want final thoughts or just wrapping up? As I feel we said a lot about this episode. Anyone have anything else to say? Yeah.
I mean, just that, again, I'll repeat it, you know, having these, you know, older characters, Riker and Troy, and, you know, Picard, of course. I mean, you would think, like, oh, we need young, we need action, but God bless, that was just great stuff. I mean, again, I get to understand why it can be the whole series, but it could be more than one episode, too. So, I mean, it just really works.
Yeah, what about you, Daniel?
Yeah, I really loved I think that special attention and care was given to the Riker-Troy family storyline, and I think it shows. I really, and it's a slower pace than we're used to seeing on the show. And honestly, if there's no stunt surprise casting or cameos for the rest of, of course there's going to be at least one or two. But if it's like, if this was their big crescendo of nostalgia, I'm good with it. I think they handled it very well. It's the stuff surrounding it that I'm just like confused by. But I loved it. I loved, this is the stuff I want to see. I want to see, except for the Q killing, of course. I want to see Troy and Riker back and just the relationships and what has happened to them in the last 20 years. And it's awesome. It's like Riker listening to jazz, cooking in his kitchen. I mean,
the only thing we didn't get was the trombone. That's basically the only thing we didn't get.
He was listening to jazz while he was cooking the pizza. So.
While he was cooking.
Or doing the dough. Yeah.
So somebody paid attention, and that...
How are they going to know he's Riker if they don't see him playing the trombone? I mean, that's...
Well, he didn't walk over anything or take a seat, but he's probably a little old for it. The back probably doesn't allow it.
Yeah.
All right. Well, if someone wanted to find you, Philip, and talk about your favorite XB, where would they find you?
Well, they're all dead, so, you know, pretty easy. they can find me at NC Public Servant on Twitter.
And Daniel, if someone wanted to talk to you about what Borg we're going to kill next, where would they find you?
They could find me on Twitter, at 1UpDan. That's the number one, not the word, as in Remember that one scene from that one episode where we thought that maybe he was going to become a politician that would champion Borg's rights and stuff? Oh, God, that's not going to happen. Oh, that's over. So anyways, yeah, you can find me there.
And if someone wanted to talk to me about great moment at the lake, they can find me on Twitter, Twitch, or Instagram under username Dr. Sci-Fi, D-R-S-C-I-F-I. I'm Darren Moser.
I'm Daniel Prue.
I'm Philip Gilfus.
Stranded here on City Alpha 3. Hope Rios gets here soon.